Good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. Nice to see everybody here this morning. In a minute, we're going to introduce the shiur, part two of what we started last week, and I'm going to catch you up a little bit on part one in case you weren't here last week. Just a little bit of advance notice. We can't deny it now. Rosh Hashanah is almost upon us. And for the next couple of weeks, I'd like to deal with some pre-Rosh Hashanah and pre-Yom Kippur issues. Next week, I'd like to give a shiur on davening at Kibrei Tzadikim and the problems that that brings up in terms of what exactly is going on and why are we going to a kever anyway and what does that achieve. We'll see that there is an underlying, very deep meta halachic and hashkafic issue going on there as to how we relate to Kibrei Tzadikim, and we maybe even throw in a little bit davening through Malachim as well, because that all these issues come up at this time of year, different minhagim in Slichot, different minhagim to visit the graves of relatives and Tzadikim, etc. So we'll talk about that. The week after, in the run-up to Rosh Hashanah, I want to talk about Segulas and what does that exactly mean and how does that work, a topic which is often discussed but not often understood, and then we'll move on from there. But today we're on part two of part one, and we're talking about electric shavers, because not only is this a topic which is relevant for those in the audience who regularly shave, which I'm looking around is a few people, mostly of men, I suspect, but a few people nevertheless. But nevertheless, not just an issue of a practical interest, but it is an issue of, again, there's a meta-halachic issue going on under the surface here, which we'll really bring out today, which is what is the interface between Kabbalah and Halacha? Because we'll see some fascinating Kabbalistic issues coming into this question, and that question as a bigger question, as a more global question, goes way beyond this topic, and we're actually going to have a shiur specifically on that, Be'ezrat Hashem, later in the year, dealing with this issue of Kabbalah, but we'll touch on it today. So let's start off maybe with a little bit of history of the electric shaver. I hope everybody's got a sheet here. The electric shaver was invented in the mid-1800s. People had been shaving with razors, obviously, for forever, as long as they worked out that there was... You want a sheet? Yeah, there's one here. The minute that somebody worked out that you could scrape something over your face and it would take off the hair, they'd been using razors. But in the mid-1800s, in the 19th century, there were already patents put in for, first of all, a manual beard-clipping machine, which comes up in the postgame at the end of the 19th century. And then in 1898, the first patent for an electric razor. Gillette, of course, came out in the early 20th century with the safety razor. A few little pictures there of modern and old safety razors. And something called the Vibro Shave that came out later. I'm too young to remember this. But in 1925, the electric face safety razor and Vibro Shave, you see a nice fellow over here with a safety razor in an old Gillette advertisement. They used to plug them into the light fittings as they came down from the ceiling. You can get these old pictures. Until eventually in 1931, Jacob Schick created the first electric shaver, which for many years was called the Schick shaver. This was already referred to in the postgame very quickly in the US postgame in 1932. Eretz Yisrael took a little longer to catch on, only after the war when Bochurim started to come from America to Eretz Yisrael, the postgame here were brought, it was brought to their attention that there was such a thing as an electric shaver, and they started to discuss it, and we'll see some of those soon. Rabbi Pesach Frank and others. In 1939, Philips brought out the famous round head shaver, which is still, of course, one of their main products today. And then, as we'll come to in the 1980s, we got this lift and cut mechanism, which we'll describe and we'll understand and see what the post can say about that. So let's have a look, just review the halachic background that we talked about last week. This is a complicated issue, and we've got to keep it clear and keep it structured, but I hope you'll find it informative and interesting. The background is two psukim. Number one, this is revision up until source number 12. So let's sell 13. Let's have a look at it today. Do not round off the corners of your head. We talked last week about where that might be. And do not destroy the corners of your beard. And we talked last week, remember, we brought in Jeremy Corbyn as a volunteer who demonstrated to us where the corners of the beard might be. But the point here is that it doesn't use the word razor in this verse. It doesn't anyway, there is a word in Hebrew for razor, which is tar. It doesn't use that word. It just says, do not destroy the corners of the beard. It didn't have to use that word. We'll see what that means. So too, there's a pasuk in Parshas Emor dealing with the Kohanim, which we saw last week. Number two, lo yikruchu karcha barosham. Do not make bald, they cannot make bald patches on their head. Ufa'at zikanam lo yigalechu. And they may not shave the corners of their beard, okay? Ubifsaram lo yisrusa sarat. And they may not make scratches on their flesh. Again, it uses the word shave here, but doesn't use the word razor. Razor hasn't appeared anywhere. The word razor does appear in other contexts, and this we never saw last week. Look briefly, number three. Kol yimei nedel nizro ta'ar lo yavor al rosho. Ta'ar, it says all the days of a nazir, a man or a woman, who chooses to be a nazir or nazirah, may not pass a razor over his or her head all the days of their nazirut. And there it does say the word tar, admalot hayamim asher yazir lashem, kodesh yeh, etc., etc. So too, over the page in number four, where the Levim were prepared, were inaugurated, they also have to be shaved, and again he uses the word razor. Number four. V'chos taset lahem. This is what you have to do to them, says God to Moshe. Letaharam, to purify them. Hazei alehem mechatat. They have to be sprinkled with the water of the para aduma, mixed with the ashes, etc. Ve'heviru ta'ar al kol basaram. And pass a razor over all of the body of the Levim. V'chitsu b'gdeyem. They have to go to mikveh v'hitaru. And they will become Tahor. And you know the Midrashim with Korach and his wife, how she says, you look like a fool. Look what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing to you, shaving all your body hair off, etc. And that was done with a razor. The reason I brought you those psukim is to show you that when the psukim want to use the word razor, they use it. So what are the implications for us by the fact that it didn't use the word razor for the prohibition of shaving the beard? He used the word hashchata, destruction, and he used the word giluach. And that's the source we see number six, which again we saw last time. Nevertheless, the Mishnah, actually number five for a second, hamashlid padzikano, says the Mishnah, if a person, and we'll see it's a man specifically, shaves off the corners of his beard, he's only liable if he uses a razor. And the question is, where did the Mishnah get that from? It never said razor. It said razor for other things, but never said razor for this. And the Gemara answers the following, number six, why is a razor specified here? Tana Rabbanan. Because it brings the two psukim together. With the Kohanim, it says they may not shave their beard. Yochal afilu galchu mitzvarayim. Maybe if they just shave with the scissors, maybe if they use scissors, that will be called a shave. Yehei chayav. Then they will be liable. Talmud Loma, the Torah says, no, lo tashchit. It brings the two psukim together, even though the mitzvah for the Kohanim is not counted as a separate mitzvah in the Tariag mitzvahs by most of the Meforshim. The Baha'i counted as a separate mitzvah, but most do not. It is brought together with this pasuk in Kedoshim to say, no, there has to be a hashchata. So it has to be a saving, it has to be a shaving and a destruction. We'll see what that means soon. We'll see what it means in a minute. If it says, do not destroy, maybe if you just plucked it out with tweezers, I think we saw this last week, or with a plane, and rub the face with something hard, maybe that's a destruction, that's no good. No, because Talmud Loma lo yigalechu, because it says they may not shave, it has to be both. Haketan, how does that work? Giluach sheyesh bo hashchata. This is the key phrase to understand all that we're going to see about electric shaving. There has to be a giluach, shaving, which is also hashchata, which is also destructive, and we'll have to define what does destructive mean. And then the Gemara says, Havi Omer, what does that mean? Zetar. This is a razor. And we raised last week the question, what does that last line of the Gemara mean? Does that mean that giluach sheyesh bo hashchata, these two things together, shaving and destroying, the only thing that does that is a razor? And anything other than a razor is simply not included. I don't care how close it gets. I don't care how much people shave with it. If it's not a razor, it's not a problem. Or is the Gemara saying no? The razor is one example of something which does giluach, shaves, and hashchata, destroys. But if you can bring me other examples, maybe a Norelco shaver, a lift and cut shaver, then that's also something which does giluach and hashchata, and the fact that it's not technically a razor is irrelevant. Which of those readings are we going to see? And the Rambam, and we'll see soon the Shulchan Aruch, takes a fairly lenient view. Looking number 7, you have to have used the razor, says the Rambam. He just quotes the Gemara. Lefikach im gileach zikno, if he shaved off his zikano, the misparayim with scissors patur. Ah, scissors can get very close. No, scissors is not called shaving. Patur. Now, patur often means in the Rambam patur. Avalasur, that there's a rabbinic prohibition. Interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch does not read it this way here, and it reads patur to mean mutar. It is permitted, and we'll see in a second the Shulchan Aruch says this very clearly. So the Rambam says, you're only liable and you're only prohibited if you're using a razor. There is such a thing as a ke'ein tar. We never saw this source last week, but I want to show it to you now, number 8. Amar Rav, this is talking about the mitzvah, which we'll see later, of lo tilvash, of men shaving off their body hair in a way which is effeminate. Now, we haven't really touched on this yet. We've been talking about shaving off the beard, but what if a man says, you know something, I'm not going to start with my beard, but I'd like to shave other parts of my body, under my arms, etc., because I like a nice clean look. We're not talking about someone who's a swimmer, a cyclist, who's doing it for, aerodynamic, whatever it is. That's a whole different... He's doing it because he feels it. It makes him feel nice. He wants to be clean-shaven. Says the Torah, you can't do that. If it's feminine, we won't get into a definition exactly now. We'll talk about that later. But look in number 8. I'm a Rav. Mekel Adam kol gufo batar. A person, a man here specifically, can make himself more comfortable. He can lighten up his... Let's say he's a very hairy guy. He can use a razor to lighten up the body hair, to take off the body hair. That's fine. May say the Gemara raises a question. No. If he shaves under his arms and other places in his body, that's a prohibition. He can't do that. Why are you telling me he's allowed to use a razor? So the Gemara first tries one answer. Habatar... Have a misparayim. One is a razor, which is prohibited, and the other example where he says it's okay, Rav's example is scissors. That's okay. Says the Gemara, no, you can't say that. But how Rav nami betar gama. Rav specifically mentioned you can use a razor on your body, not a problem. So the Gemara finally says no. Ke'ein tar. And we see now there's a third category, which we have to get clarity on today. There's a tar, which is a razor. There's misparayim. We all know what they are, scissors. And there's something in the middle, a ke'ein tar. What is a ke'ein tar? Like a razor, Rashi says. Shegazav, number 9. B'misparayim, you do have to use scissors. B'samuch lebasar, each one of these words is very important for our share today. Very close to the skin, ke'ein tar, like a razor. You can get, if you use the right scissors, you can get a really short cut. It won't be like a razor, but that's okay. It won't be exactly like a razor, but it's ke'ein tar. It's close, but not too close. That's good enough, says this Gemara. And the Shulchan Aruch picks that up for the beard as well. Number 10, Einu chai val hashchatat tar zakan, ela batar, the only thing which is prohibited is a razor. Aval b'misparayim mutar, we saw this last week, scissors is fine, you can cut your beard with scissors. Afilu ke'ein tar. Important point, the Shulchan Aruch says, and I don't care how close the cut is. If you're using scissors, and you have a pair of scissors which can get right to the skin, mutar, no problem. The remark we saw last week in number 11 brings in a health warning and says, watch out if your scissors are too sharp, number 11, because makam nizharim b'kam mitzaprim pen yaseh hakol im chelek atachton b'havi ketar. If your scissors are too sharp, then you can use one of the blades of the scissors and you will end up shaving effectively with a razor. But other than that health warning, which is scissors can be dangerous, halakhically as well as physically, okay? Basically, the Shulchan Aruch concludes, and the Ramah agrees, I don't care how close your shave is, if it's with scissors, it's fine. Over the page, please, and then this will take us to the end of our review. However, we saw that not everybody else was so happy. The Rizan on Makkos, who is in place of Rashi. There's a little line at the top of, I think it's Yud Tet Amud Bet, which says basically Rashi died at this point when he was writing his commentary on Makot, and his son-in-law, the Rivan, took over. So the last few dafim of Rashi, quote-unquote, on Makot, is actually his son-in-law, the Rivan. If you're looking here at number 12, the Rivan says the following, Talmud lo loy tashchit, umisparayim enu mashchitin, why are scissors okay? She'ein chotchim se'ar b'tzad ikar. They don't get to the roots of the hair, kitar, like a razor does. Now, we'll have to start getting into that today, because someone asked at the end of the shir, I think you asked, about waxing. You know, what all, there's so many different ways to get rid of hair. What do they all do? So, the Rivan here said, scissors are okay, why? Because they don't get into the roots of the hair. Well, I've got news for you, razors also don't get into the roots of the hair. They shave at the skin level. Okay, they take off a layer of skin, of dead skin cells as well, which is one of the reasons why a razor shave is so smooth. And anyone who's ever shaved with a razor, I think Baal Tshuva will tell you that no electric shaver gets as close as a good razor shave. But nevertheless, it doesn't get into the roots of the hair, but apparently it gets closer than scissors do. And so too, the Rivan says in number 12, of the second line, Gilosh Yesh Vashkata, Derech Legaleach Bo. What, it has to be something people normally shave with, umashchit, and a razor, which also destroys the Hainazar, and that's a razor. Aval Rehitni, why are, is a plane okay? Why is that okay? Mashchit, that destroys the hair. The Ein Derech Legaleach Bo. That's probably, that's the issue. People don't normally shave by rubbing stones on their face, as far as I'm aware. Umisparayim megalchim, scissors people do use, but they don't destroy the hair. Again, he comes and says here, I don't think it's just razors. Anything that gets into the roots, anything that people normally use for shaving, that's going to be included in this. And therefore we'll see, even the Shulchan Aruch comes out very clearly and says, no, it's fine, close shaves are fine, scissors are fine as long as they're not too sharp. Other people are not so clear. And they're saying, well, I don't know, if it's something people normally use for shaving and it gets deep enough, then that's the problem. And I've summarized for you here just before we get, I brought you a little picture of a hair follicle. I hope they came out here. I've summarized, there are basically three levels. Level one is a tar, a true razor, which is clearly prohibited by the Torah. That destroys, quote-unquote, the hair. Imisparayim ke'ein tar, scissors, which give you a close cut, is fine, according to Shulchan Aruch. That doesn't destroy the hair, even though it gets close. And regular misparayim, scissors, are definitely fine for everybody, as long as they're not too sharp. Now, let's just think for a second about how this works. There are lots of ways to get rid of hair. You can use scissors, you can use a razor, you can use depilatory cream, you can use waxing, you can use tweezers, you can use epilation, you can use laser treatment. Yeah, all of these things are possible. Electrolysis. They all get rid of hair, but they all get rid of hair at different points of the hair. I had to research this a little bit. Basically, razors cut the hair at the surface of the skin. They don't cut underneath the skin. If a razor's already cutting underneath your skin, you're going to have more than a close shave, okay? You're going to have a very messy face, okay? Although we'll see that the lift and cut razor managed to do, shaver managed to do something, which was to pull the hair out a little bit, cut it, and then let it drop back in, which effectively means you have cut it a little bit below the skin. We'll show you a picture of that in a minute. Depilatory cream actually cuts the hair off a little bit below the surface. The cream burns under the skin. That's why you can't let it leave it on too long, okay? And it doesn't smell too great either. But it burns under the surface and cuts the hair a little bit under the surface. Waxing's even better. Waxing cuts the hair in the middle under the surface in the skin layer. Tweezers are even better. They pull it right out, although they leave the root. Sorry, it sounds painful, although it's not usually. Epilation actually pulls the hair right out from the very root and just leaves the empty follicle. And there are even ways of destroying the hair follicles. Laser treatment, if applied properly, destroys the follicle, or it's meant to, and it's meant to stop the hair ever growing back again. Whether it works or not, you can ask other people. I'm not in any way experienced on that. But there are lots of ways of destroying, quote-unquote, the hair at different levels, and we just need to be aware of that when we talk now about electric shavers. So, there are four approaches in the poskim to electric shavers. Approach number one is they're all completely prohibited. You cannot use an electric shaver almost ever. Okay, we'll see one maybe exception. And if you do, that's five Torah prohibitions, no different to a razor. That's the first approach. The second approach and the third approach are going to say, well, some shavers yes, some shavers no. You just got to know what brand you're using. And the fourth approach is basically going to say, you can use all shavers. All electric shavers are fine. Don't even worry about it. Never going to be a problem. And then we're going to talk about Kabbalah at the end. Okay? If we get some time. Hopefully. So let's have a look at how approach number one. Yes. Good. So we talked last week. You need to get hold of the Shira last week because we gave four or five rationales brought in the Rishonim. One was that not to confuse how men look with how women look, so they won't pretend to be women. One was Chukat HaGoy. A good question. Good question. As with all Ta'amei HaMitzvot, they speak to the global idea of the mitzvah, but not specifically to the details of the mitzvah. The Rambam talks about that in Mori Nevuchim as well, but that's really last week's share a little bit, and we can get you a recording of that quite easily. Let's have a look. This is all new material now. So approach number one. I'm going to spend most of the time on this because it's, I think, very interesting, but it may not be today the mainstream approach of most posting, depending on who you ask your shaylos to. Basically, approach number one says results matter. What do we care about? How close is your shave? If it's too close, that's not allowed. And let's have a look here. Number 13, the Nimuke Yosef, who was a Rishon, okay, he understands that even at the Shulchan Aruch, which came after him, obviously, practices that a Ka'ein Tar is okay. He says, no, I don't agree with it. Achit Lanibatar, Dichsiv Loi Tashchit, you may not destroy, he says. Aval B'mitzbarayim Mutar, why are scissors okay? Deleis B'hu Hashchata, that doesn't destroy the hair, why? Shehare nikar sham hasel. Because even after you've shaved, the hair that is left is still nikar. Now what does nikar mean? Visible, in which case you still look as though you have stubble even after you've shaved. Or does it mean it's not visible but, you know, I can feel it still a little bit there on my face? What does nikar mean? But in one way or the other, the hair somehow has to be able to be sensed there, and too close a shave is no good. And many of the Mephoroshim after the Shulchan Aruch picked up on this idea and said, look, we don't agree with the Shulchan Aruch. Look at number 14. Arkein, says the Bach, who was Rav Yol Tzirkus, about 100 years after the Shulchan Aruch. Mukhriyadim nimchot biyadan ulikzor aleihim ba'oinish chamur. We have to be absolutely public and publicly punish people in whatever way we can. Well, maybe not whatever way we can, but significantly. Shalai galchu klal. We do not want them to shave at all. Af tachat agoron, even under the throat, which we saw last week, maybe less of a problem because most opinions say that the Adam's apple is not one of the corners of the beard, although some say it is. Afilu b'mitzbaram ke'en tar. He came out clearly against the Shulchan Aruch. Even though the Shulchan Aruch says you can have a very close shave, absolutely not. We must object to this. We must make sure those who do this are taken to task. Mihu havadai sharika she'enu megalech v'somach levatar. If you can manage to get away from the skin, legamri, that's okay. Elamaniach ktsatsar. He says, clearly you have to leave a bit of stubble. Designer stubble has been in for many hundreds of years. Maybe not as a fashion statement, but as a halachic statement. He says, te'en kanash chatsatsakan. What is okay as long as you still have stubble on your face? The Shach rejects this and says, no, at the end of the day, that's a chumrah. Look at number 15, Habach, Kasav de Tzarek Lizaher. The Bach says you have to be careful. V'li nira das harav ikah. I think we can stay with the Shulchan Aruch, he says. Kevin de kolah poskim katfu stamach mitzvah mutar. Because whenever everyone said scissors okay, is a scissor okay? They didn't say scissors are okay as long as you don't get this. No, they said scissors are okay. Therefore, stick with the Shulchan Aruch. In Cain had the Trumas HaDeshen, chumrahi. And therefore, the comments of the Trumas HaDeshen, which is, be careful what kind of scissors you use, not too sharp, it's a chumrah. And I don't think we should need to go any more past this. Therefore, the Shach tries to bring back the close shave, but the Bach really caught on. And we'll see that in the 19th century, as reform and the Enlightenment kicked in, the positions of orthodoxy became more and more entrenched in many areas on this issue, that no, dafka, we have to have a beard, dafka, you cannot be close-shaven, even though many people before that were often close-shaven, and we'll see soon, even certain Kabbalists as well. Enter now someone we have never quoted before, called the Shailos and Tshuvos Besamim Rosh. Now, we'll see soon exactly who that was. The Besamim Rosh purported to be the Tshuvos of the Rosh. Well, when did the Rosh live? in the 13th century, leading rishon. And they were discovered, quote-unquote, in the 19th century, late 18th century, actually, and these tshuvas came out. And this tshuva raises the following interesting question. Look at number 16. Al-dava ha-ish, there's a case of a man, it says, sheba lo b'zakanok k'mochom, he ends up with a big rash under his beard. The eish sorefet b'basar, and he has a skin, some kind of skin infection, whatever it is, a fungal infection, some kind of complaint under the face. And the doctors have told him to shave off his beard with a razor. The alidei maim borrowed to use shaving cream and soap, etc. To really get the hairs out, because the hairs are causing the irritation. The atasata, and you, the rabbi, he's speaking to, you said this is not allowed. Lasota calls there, you can't do this. Shalom yomru arofim sheyesh b'davasakana. Sorry, calls man. Shalom yomru arofim sheyesh b'davasakana. Only if the doctors say that this is life-threatening, then you can shave off your beard. But the fact that the guy has a very bad face, you know, whatever, acne or some kind of major face irritation, you say you can't do that. He says, I don't think you're right. Tshuva. Alidei goy. First of all, you can get a non-Jew to shave. Sha'af al tinkei midrabbanan osa. Even though that's rabbinically prohibited, in this case he thinks it's going to be okay. Why? Because whenever you ask a non-Jew to do something for you, that usually is on the level of a mira la'akum on Shabbat. If you ask a non-Jew to do something, that's not a Torah prohibition. Here he says the minute you ask a non-Jew, that it's going to downgrade to a drabonon. Now, we said last week that that's not so straightforward, right? Do you remember last week? We said that according to many people, there's a prohibition not just on the shaver, but also on the shavee. Why do I care if a non-Jew or a Jew is shaving my beard? If I'm having my beard shaved, then that's a problem. So first of all, he said, I don't think that's a problem, which is interesting. Now that I've downgraded it to a drabonon, but mokum tsar, now that you're in pain, and this is a well-known halachic principle, if a person is in significant discomfort, even if it's not life-threatening, if the prohibition is rabbinic, we often allow it. Is it too hot in here?
Yeah, we can use it.
If someone wants to ask, maybe to turn it a little bit colder. I just see a lot of people fanning their faces and sipping gently into a sort of soporific game. The rabbis never prohibited if you're in discomfort. So Yochel Asat Al Yedei Goyim, he says, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. The Asul Pikein, Telamdu Sheyikach Tchila B'Mitzvarayim. He says, do the following. Do a double shave. First of all, use scissors. Listen carefully, because this is what he suggested. Use scissors, and shaloya niach, so that you leave less than kidei lechof rosh on the ikaran. The hair has to be small enough so that it can't turn back on itself. We'll see where he got that from in a minute. So first of all, have a scissor cut. Get the hair shorter than that. Because there he's going to say the hair is halachically irrelevant. Va'az kishimei bi'alav haran. Then when you use a razor, einu od issa. There's no problem, because what you cut off was not there. It's physically there, but it's not halachically there. Because when is a hair? Halacha has to define things. There are many, we'll see soon, definitions of hair. When is a hair not a hair? Hair today, gone tomorrow, as they say. Okay? Sorry. Okay, right. So, he says, once it's smaller than the length that can fold back on itself, it's not halachically there, then you can shave with a razor, ein od isur, she'ein zakruz hair, it's not called payas anymore. The lois hair, it's not called hair anymore. Kidem hashim, b'sukiyo is the nazir, as we see, as a mashmei in the sukiyo nazir, she'ein zegilu haklav. That's not called shaving. Now, where did he get that from? Have a look on the top of page 4. He got it from a Mishnah in Nida. It says the following, Shtei Sarot Hamurud Bapara. When it talks about a Para Aduma.
Yeah.
Now, when we last learned the halachas together of Para Aduma, now is an opportunity. A Para Aduma has to be what color? Red. If you have two black hairs or two white hairs, then it invalidates the cow. So you're a lucky farmer, you have a Para Aduma worth gazillions of dollars, and then you notice two little hairs coming out which are the wrong color. So the question is, at what length do those hairs invalidate your para aduma? There has to be a certain length. And with nagaim, nagaim is of course tzara'at. So again, there are certain simanim of tzara'at where a hair will either cause the tzara'at, like a golden hair on the beard region, or it will save the tzara'at. At what point can you look at that hair and say, ah, look, there are hairs there, good news or bad news, depending on what the case is. V'ha'amuru b'kol makam. And whenever we need to talk about her, which we'll see, is that this case as well, as our beard case, he brings three opinions. Listen carefully. Opinion number one. Kedei l'chof l'oshan l'ikaran. Enough, the hair has to be big enough in order to be halakhically relevant to fold over on itself. That's where we saw before. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says, Kedei likrotz b'tziporen. What's likrotz? To pinch it. So you can pinch it with your nail. Now, is that shorter or longer than the first one? The first definition. Is that shorter than the amount to fold over on itself? Probably a bit shorter. Rabbi Yekiva, Omer, Rabbi Yekiva says no. Kedei sheyehu netulot bazug. It has to be the size that you could still snip a bit off with a pair of scissors. Is that shorter still, or is that a bit longer? Not clear, really. And also, even when we say the amount that you have to grab with the nail, what does that mean? Does it mean you have to grab it with the nail? Does it mean you have to be able to lift it with the nail? I'm not getting into the nano definitions of this, but they become very important, as we'll see in a minute. And the Gemara in Nidda said, whatever lengths these are, in number 18, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Mar Ukva, Halacha Kedivrei Kulan Lahachmir. Whichever area you're dealing with in Halacha, we're going to go with the most machmir view of these three sizes, whichever they are, whether it's to fold over on itself or to pinch with a nail, or whether it's enough that you can shave with scissors. Whichever is the most machmir, we're going to take that. Let me give you an example. In number 19, which is very halacha lamaisa. Forget about your para aduma. Let's think about your bar mitzvah boy. Says the Rambam, number 19, shtei tzarot amurut beven ubevat ubechol makom shiron kedei lechuf roshan. So he paskens that, as we know, when does a child become bar or bat mitzvah? So a girl at the age of 12, and a boy at the age of 13, plus they have to have two adult body hairs. If they do not have those two hairs, they're not bar or bat mitzvah. There are two tanaim. They have to be reach the age, and they have to be showing signs of maturity, of puberty. You need both. Says the Rambam, how big does the hair need to be? It needs to be enough that it will fold on itself. Okay, fine. Ushmin umeshayit mechuvi yu yicholotli and atel b'fiyazug. And when it's at least big enough to be able to be shaved with scissors, ad sheyigil lechof rashan, until that larger amount, dani b'hu lahachmir b'chol makom. We say that lechumra either way. Lefikach, it gives you an example. B'ben ukebas. Let's say you have a child that has very, very short adult hairs. We assume, well, maybe you're a grown-up. You can't do anything that an adult wouldn't be able to do. Since it's reached at least that tiny little bit, you could shave it with scissors. The next of some katanim, but we'll still regard you as a child, to be machmir, since it hasn't reached the largest shear. What do we do, by the way, practically speaking? We don't check anything. Why? Because we assume, if there's a chazaka, say it says the halacha, that if a boy has reached 13 or if a girl has reached 12, there's probably body hair. We're certainly not checking anything at all. And we assume for all rabbinic mitzvahs that the hairs are there without checking. But we, by the way, do not assume that for Torah mitzvahs, because as we see, on a Torah level, you're not bar or bat mitzvah until you have both the age and the hair. Which is very interesting, because for any rabbinic mitzvah, a bar mitzvah boy or a bat mitzvah girl will be able to perform like an adult. The boy turns bar mitzvah, he'll daven ma'ariv. Very nice. No one's going to ask whether he's more developed, less developed. But for a Torah mitzvah, we won't let him. For example, if a child becomes bar mitzvah and it's Pasha Zohar, they'll let him read the whole Pasha, but they won't let him read Pasha Zohar. Mm-hmm. Why not? If he's bar mitzvah, he's bar mitzvah. Because I don't know, he may not be bar mitzvah. We haven't gone checking for hairs, and we're not going to, and therefore we'll say someone else can read Parshas Zohar. My son's bar mitzvah was Parshas Para. And Parshas Para is also maybe a Doraita, maybe not a Doraita, depending on how you paskin. The Rav said, no, he can't read Parshas Para, someone else has to read Parshas Para. It's even a Shaila, can your 13-year-old boy or your 12-year-old girl make Kiddush on Friday night? When the first Friday night they're bar mitzvah. So an adult man or woman can make Kiddush for the family, there's no question. But I don't know if you're an adult man or woman at all, and maybe it's the right, and maybe it's the bottom. Interesting question. That's not the question we're dealing with. I just brought you here that the Rambam uses those parameters, if you like, to judge whichever is the more machmir, that's still called a hair. So comes along the Node of Yehuda and the Chasam Sofer and says, what are you talking about? This Besamim Rosh, who came along and said, you know what, this guy who has bad skin conditions on his face, do the following, the double cut. Let's cut his hair with scissors till it's below a certain length, the sort of a longer length to fall back, and then we'll shave the beard off. Says the Chasam Sofer, you're talking nonsense. Because Mimanashach, whichever way you look at it, you've done something wrong. Why? Because if the relevant shear is the longer length, and you cut below with scissors below that, then that's called cutting off the hair. And if that didn't work, halachically, then the minute you shave with a razor, then for sure that's called cutting off the hair. And you'll see in a minute what he says, because it's very important. In fact, the Besamim Rosh turned out to be one of the biggest scandals of the 18th century, because it was a forgery. The Besamim Rosh, I don't know if people have come across this, was actually a set of tshuvas which purported to be the tshuvas of the Rosh, but was actually composed by Rabbi Saul Berlin. Rabbi Berlin was the son of the chief rabbi of Berlin, which is where he got his name from. He was also, by the way, his younger brother was Rabbi Solomon Herschel. Does anyone know who Rabbi Solomon Herschel was? Anyone with a good Anglo history background? He was the chief rabbi of England for 40 years, of the United Kingdom and the British Empire, before the Ardlers took over, before Nathan Marcus Ardler, etc. And he was the younger brother of this individual, no doubt not very impressed by his older brother's notoriety. In fact, Solomon Herschel tried as far as he could to keep reform out of England, unsuccessfully, but the older brother turned out to be a brilliant forger, in the sense that he managed to convince many, many people that these were indeed the tshuvas of the Rosh, except that people started to notice that these tshuvas had a coincidentally strong enlightenment agenda. They started saying things like, you can shave, or you can ride on Shabbos, or that actually we don't really get our inspiration as much from revelation, but from reason and philosophy, etc. People began to suspect. He said, you can drink non-kosher wine, and this, of course, was uncovered as a total forgery. But the Chasam Sofer says, even if it wasn't a forgery, which it is, and he calls it the Kizvei Harosh, instead of the Kitzvei Harosh, the Kizvei Harosh, the lies of the Rosh, he basically says, it's not acceptable. And I want to show you the key thing here, why this is important for us. Go to the third line, number 20. So, Ani Oisif, I'm going to add the following. In Ein Kabbalah al Ashir, even though we don't know exactly which shir is the right shir, in Kenah Svara noted the Chayvala, I still think you would be obligated for shaving. Why? Because the Pasuk never mentions the word razor, says the Chasam Sofer. He just says you may not destroy the beard. The Chazal Amru, and the rabbi said, and he said, but actually, that was just an example. A razor was just one way of doing hashchata and giluach. But since the Pasuk never used the expression razor, any time the hair is short enough, and it's a normal way of shaving, that is going to be called prohibited totally in halacha. And as I said, the Nodi Yehuda said this, the Chasam Sofer said this, and I brought you on page 5 a number of interesting tshuvas, which we're not going to go all of them inside, but Rav Moshe Sternbuch brings this up here. Rav Moshe Sternbuch, who is not a clean-shaven rabbi, who is known, I'm sure, to many people here, he writes the following in number 21. Machines, razors these days, machine shavers, they shave clothes like a razor. But the problem is, actually, if you analyze them, they work like scissors. And we'll get into this in a minute. Most shavers today do not work like a razor, where one blade cuts against the skin. What they have is they have a foil, or something that holds the hair, and then together with a blade, that cuts the hair. So even though, he says, they give a close shave, they actually work like this, rather than like this. So what are we going to do with that? Because they use two blades. The whole point of a scissor is, a scissor can achieve more with blunter blades, because you're using the resistance of the two blades. So says Rav Moshe Sternbuch, our modern-day electric shavers, they cut very close, but they seem to work like scissors. The Hakadosh HaChofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim said, The Kenkos of a Chazon Ish, and he says also the Chen Rabbeinu Chazon Ish, Pasku Shizdehu Tar Mamash. They paskin that these electric shavers were actual razors. Now, the Chofetz Chaim never paskin anything on an electric shaver, because the electric shaver was invented after he'd already passed away. But he paskined on something, and we'll see what that is in a minute. And he basically analyzed this. Aval Rabim Nagula Hakel, but I'm aware, he says, and he was a rock for many years in South Africa, many men used these shavers. And when I was young, he says, I heard that Rav Chaim Oze Grzinski in Europe, he's here, he allowed it very famously. Rav Chaim Oze is very famous for two big heterim. Number one, the electric shaver. Number two, gelatin, exactly. He's famous for many, many other things as well, but they are two of the things he's known for by those who want to try and be makel. And even though he says, actually, you've got to know your brands, you've got to know what you're actually dealing with. Nevertheless, I think that they're basically the same. They're talking about the same thing. And he analyzes it like this. He basically says, which way are you going to look at it? Are you results-led, meaning if it's a close shave, that's prohibited? Or are you process-driven? If it's a scissor process, then that's okay. And he concludes clearly. He says, I go with a close shave. And he says the last three lines, Mimela le'inin giluach mechonah. When it comes to shaving with a razor, a shaver rather, shehu isur chamur, I think it's completely prohibited. She'emagaleach atma ovech hamisha lavim, you're breaking five different prohibitions by using an electric shaver. Vadai chayavim lahachmir. We absolutely have to be machmir. The Chen Haragon Reb Yaakov Kanievsky, he quotes the Steipler, who says, absolutely, you can't use a shaver la'asosh. He says, well, it's the Doraisa Katar. It makes no difference between a razor and a shaver. At the end, he says, if someone's going to shave with an electric shaver, better they should do that than use a razor. And if by telling them they can't shave at all, they'll just say, oh, forget it, I'll use a razor, then at least allow them to use a shaver. But in principle, he says, this completely prohibited, as I said, the Chofetz Chaim, the Chazon Ish, the Stipler, this was Rav Eliashiv's position, this was Rav Shach's position, and this is still the position of, this is Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's position, this was the position of many of the Poskim in Eretz Yisrael, that you cannot use an electric shaver. Now, what was the Chofetz Chaim actually talking about, if not a shaver? He may have been talking about manual clippers, and if he held that was prohibited, then our modern-day shavers are even worse, because they're closer than that. Or he may have been talking about the safety razor, which is interesting. Because Gillette, as I said, brought out a safety razor, and he calls it a machinka, a little machine that shaves your face. If he's talking about the safety razor, then I don't know, all bets are off, because that's obviously very different to an electric shaver, and it's not clear what he was talking about. But it is clear, the Chazon Ish, have a look in number 22, I brought you here the Chalkas Yaakov, of Rav Yaakov Breisch, and he's going to quote the Chazon Ish very clearly. Look in number 22. etc. That says, it doesn't say tar, it says lo tashchit. Second line. If you can't see hair after the shave, even with scissors, chayav, that is bal tashchit. And he quotes one of the journals, a Pardes. Oh, he says, someone quotes from Tzvi Pesach Frank in Yerushalayim, and he says that he prohibited electric shavers. And this Rav wanted to say it was okay. And I wrote straight away to my friend, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, says Rav Yaakov Breisch. Rav Yaakov Breisch was the Hasidish Rav in Europe after the war. He said, I wrote to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, half based in Yerushalayim. He says, do you really prohibit electric shavers? And he wrote back immediately. The Kibalti Ben Tekat Tshuva, and I received a tshuva from him. Masha Nitfas B'Shmi La'asor Mechonat Chashmal Eino Nachon. When they printed in the journal that I prohibit electric shavers, it's not correct. I think a good rule of life is never believe anything that is written about anyone in any journal unless you actually saw them sign that they agree with it. Because so many times you see people, things printed in people's names, signatures on lampposts and all sorts of things. I think you can be a healthy skeptic that very little is actually reliable in that respect, in any direction. He says, I never said any such thing. Rakishati lahasholim al tealzeh the heicheshikamit galchi yotzer nekiim ba'ofen shabazon nazir chalak lekamus. All I said was, if the shave is very close, shilon ishar lehim shum roisham, and you can't see any hair, giluach kazeh din tar yeshlo. But if you can find yourself an electric shaver which leaves you with a healthy looking stubble, bevakasha. Now they're not going to make a lot of money out of that. But he says the Chalak of Yaakov, that would work. And he gives an eitzah. He says maybe you could hold it a little far further away from your face. He says at the end of the shuva, if you're going to use an electric shaver, just hold it a couple of millimeters from your face so that it won't actually go too close. Because again, that's what they're getting at. Don't get such a close shave. Rav Moshe Sternberg grows back and says that's bubimaitis. You can't do that. That's not going to work. He says what you could do maybe for those who allow electric shavers, which he doesn't, is that at least they'll go over again and again and again and again until you get a really close. Everyone's had a shaver with a shaver. So you go over once, it's okay, but you go over five or six times and you get a closer shave. Is that maybe that you can do?
There isn't equal on the face. There are only parts of the face.
Good. We talked about that last week. With the Peyot HaRosh is more problematic, but down here we're talking about. Henry had a question?
Yeah. The whole thing revolves around Baal Tashchis.
Good, but someone asked this last week. Baal Tashchis doesn't mean you completely destroyed it beyond all hope of recovery. I give you an analogy. If you take a fruit tree and you smash branches off the fruit tree and throw the fruit away, that's Baal Tashchis. You didn't uproot the tree, the fruit will grow back. You don't have to uproot the whole tree in order to be doing Baal Tashchis. So too here, you don't have to destroy the whole head, and never it'll grow again, in order to be doing Baal Tashchis. The Chazon Ish, look at this, the Minchas Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Weiss, quotes the Chazon Ish number 24. V'chein, Mashe Ne'emali B'Shem Agon HaChazon Ish. A little bit of humor at the beginning here. It says, Hevi Arugan Rav Moshe Sternbach, so Rav Moshe Sternbach quotes the Chazon Ish, Shisiper Loi, Hey Ne'eman, and I give you very clear testimony. Mimitsuyeve Kolel Ponovich, from one of the excellent members of the Ponovich Kolel. Okay, Havahu Amuflag Harav Noach Berman. I don't know exactly who Rav Noach Berman was, but one of the greats of Ponovich. Shishal Ba'atsmoy Pi HaChazonish. He asked the Chazonish himself. Im Nachon HaShmua. Is it correct what people are saying? Shehu pasak sheyorei shamayim yeshlo liizar shelo legalech machano electric. Is it correct when the Chazon Ish says that a God-fearing man should not be using an electric shaver? The heishiv shaloi nachon. And the Chazon Ish says it's not correct. Ragzeu is a lekol echad. Not only a God-fearing man, but any man cannot use an electric shaver. V'lo leyorei shamayim bilvad. V'al zeh shal od ulai yesh lechalek. Maybe you can use this shaver, not that shaver. And he said, no, all shavers are prohibited. And that is a mainstream opinion amongst many, many poskim. If you take it to your Rav Yerushalayim, it won't be hard to find many poskim who tell you that electric shavers are completely prohibited. Where they're coming from is, how close is the shave? The only thing which is allowed is something which leaves visible, or at least feelable, stubble. Now, go over the page. The second approach, and here you'll see a very handy-dandy diagram here of how the lift and cut works. It goes without saying that according to this first approach, the lift and cut razor shaver will be completely prohibited. Every shaver is prohibited, basically, unless you hold it a little bit far away from your face and manage to make it not work properly. The second approach is, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says the following. This is very interesting. 25. I think you need to check. And we saw before, he says not all shavers are prohibited. The actual blade in an electric shaver doesn't touch the skin. Because there's always a very thin metal grill between them. That's what I call scissors. Kain tar, okay, scissors, kain tar, it gets very close, but it's still scissors. She'eno ovibaloi tar, said the Yiluah Hazakah. Says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, this was also Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin's position, Rav Blumenkrantz writes this as well. As long as there's something coming between the skin and the blade, you're okay. So for many of the electric shavers, this is going to be fine. Take the old shaver with a sort of a, not with a round head, but with a grill. Yeah, is it Phillips? I don't exactly. Remington, okay, Remington. Then we'll get to Victor Kiam in a minute. Don't worry, we'll get to him soon. That is going to be fine because there's a grill between the blades and the face. Lift and cut, however, works like this. Look at these diagrams. Here, Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet. This is taken from Sommet. Sommet basically analyzed this and took this from the promotional material for lift and cut. Look at what happens. Aleph, you have two little blades. You have a smaller blade and a bigger blade, and the grill pushes the skin down, so the skin bubbles up between the grills there and actually touches the blade. The little blade lifts the hair out, that's Bet, out from the follicle, then the bigger blade quickly cuts it, and then drops it back down, and now you have it cut below the skin. Two things happened here. Number one, the hair ends up severed below the skin. Number two, the skin comes into contact with the blade, because it pulls the skin out. According to this, lift and cut would be a problem, and therefore that's one of the reasons why many, many poskim are unhappy with lift and cut. However, there's a third approach, which is the following. What really matters, and this is Rav Moshe Feinstein's approach, what really matters is how the blades are working. If they're working like this, okay. If they're working like this, they're not okay. And in fact, we talked about that before. I brought you here from Rav Shabbai Rappaport in number 26, the grandson-in-law of Rav Moshe. He says the following. The protective metal screen housing a blade that some razors have can work in one of two ways. Please look with me, number 26. If it acts as a second blade that enables the first to cut against it, one is shaving with scissors. Those who permit shaving with scissors, which is most people, which can produce the effect of a razor, which again, not like the first opinion, but anyone who says a close cut is okay, would permit such a razor. If, however, the screen just protects the skin, but does not aid in cutting the hair is still being cut by a razor. You have to open up the model. You have to say, what is your grill doing? Is the grill acting like the second blade of a scissor, and therefore that's how it works? Or is the grill just holding the hair while something comes and cuts? If the razor cuts the hair of the skin, it accomplishes hashkasa, even if it does not touch the skin itself. I'm of the opinion that using such an electric razor to shave is prohibited, just as using a razor itself. And Rav Rappaport says, you can't just trust the advertising slogans. He says, you have to take them apart. Anyone here who is ever a certain age will remember Victor Kiam, who closes a blade or your money back. No one remembers that? Remington, he liked it so much he bought the company. Okay, don't worry about that. You always had better things to do in the 1970s than look at bad Remington adverts. But he said you can't listen to the marketing material because it may just be, you know, hype. You have to actually take it apart and look at that. In fact, that distinction, I brought you 27 and 28, which you can read in your own time because I want to move on, where here Rav Moshe Heinemann from Star K says, that's the real question. Is it scissors or is it not scissors? And Rav Shabbai Rappaport brings down here other applications of this in 28. What exactly Rav Moshe Feinstein held is a matter of dispute. Because if you ask some people, Rav David Feinstein, Rav Reuven Feinstein, Rav Belsky, they will say that Rav Moshe said most shavers were okay, but lift and cut, he was not so happy with lift and cut, etc. However, if you ask other people, Rabbi Ziegler kindly sent me a link to an audio tape by Rav Shmuel First of the CRC in Chicago, and he said very, very clearly that Rav Moshe Feinstein held that basically all electric shavers were fine because they were basically all scissors in the way that they worked, and he even allowed lift and cut shavers. So it depends on who you ask. The problem is Rav Moshe never wrote a tshuva about this. Why did Rav Moshe never write a tshuva? He wrote a tshuva about everything. He never wrote about this. So, again, it depends on who you ask. Some people say he never wrote a tshuva on this because he said it was so obvious that the shavers are okay that I didn't need to write about it. I don't like that answer because he wrote about a lot of things that you would have thought were obvious. What may be a more accurate answer is, even though he held that the shavers were basically okay, he didn't want to say everyone should shave because he felt that a yid should have a beard. That's, I also heard that, which sounds more likely. Either way, he didn't write a tshuva about it, and depending on who you ask, you'll get a different answer. Go over to page 8. Page 8 brings a fourth approach. But you can see already by this third approach, many listening cut razors will be fine, shavers will be fine, and most other shavers will be fine because they work like this. Rav Rosin from Summit says they took apart almost every brand of shaver on the market in the early 2000s, and he said almost every one of them worked like scissors, not like a razor, and therefore they were basically fine. Number 29 is the Ksava HaKabbalah. Let me summarize this very quickly because I want to deal with the Kabbalistic issues. The Ksava HaKabbalah, Rav Yaakov Mecklenburg, he was a parish on Chumash. And he wrote there that it never actually mentions the word hair either in the Pasuk. It doesn't mention razor and it doesn't mention hair. And he said, what does it mean to destroy the corners of the beard? It means anything which takes off large amounts of hair at the same time. That was his understanding. Hashchata is nothing to do with the individual hair. It's to do with the action of a razor. When you use a razor on the face, it takes a whole swathe of hair away. That's called hashchata. But if you were to go around your face plucking each hair out individually, so that's not a hashchata. According to this, the way that an electric shaver works is actually, if you examine it microscopically, it plucks out every single hair individually. It doesn't just shave a whole part of the head off. And therefore, there are others that wanted to say this is the approach of Rav Nachum Rabinovich of Maale Adumim. And in case you say, oh yeah, but look, the Ksava HaGabbalah was a Perush on Chumash, you can't bring him as a halachic expert. The answer is maybe yes, maybe no. But Rav David C. Hoffman says the same thing. And he also agrees with this. He brings this parish to number 30. And therefore, this is clearly a relevant issue. And according to this, basically, all electric shavers will be fine. There's nothing to talk about. A lift and cut is not even a problem. What's the problem? So he lifts each hair and cuts it. That's not what the problem is, according to Rav David C. Hoffman. So according to this approach, you will basically all be fine. Rav Yisrael Rosin also said an interesting thing from Thomas. Rav Rosin said that actually, this is an interesting story, you can like it or not like it, even if you find that your electric shaver works like a razor, when you take it apart and it actually cuts the hair directly, that's all happening on a microscopic level. And the halacha doesn't take account of microscopic issues. It's only what is near the eye. And since to you and me, it looks like it's going like a pair of scissors, even though if I take a video and slow it down 1,000 times, I'll see that it's not. Lomashana, it's good enough. Which is very interesting. How do you apply that? How far do you apply that? Etc. But he wants to bring that svara and basically say, if you go on the Summit website, you'll see that basically all shavers there, he says, are okay. Two last things before we finish. Number one, there is a possibility, according to some poskim, that there is a rabbinic level to this. Even if your shaver doesn't do hashchata, maybe since the Rambam said patur means there's still a rabbinic prohibition even for shavers that technically do not destroy the beard. The Sefer HaChinuch says this in number 31. He wants to say there's a whole rabbinic level over the page as well. The Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, says he was very unhappy with shavers, as indeed the Lubavitchers are Ade Yom Hazer. There's a certain Lubavitch beard look, right, which clearly is not a close-shaven look. The Tzemach Tzedek wants to say that it may be lo yilbash the rabbonon. There's an issue of being effeminate, which is an interesting question. Is it effeminate now for a man to have a close shave?
No.
So what is effeminate depends on the norms of society. Maybe to shave all his body hair with a razor would be still considered to be a feminine thing to do, but to have a close shave, maybe not. Another say it's chukas hagoy. I just want to, on a rabbonon level, I want to just finish in the last 2 minutes with a Kabbalistic issue, because this will lead us into another share we're going to have later in the year, please God. The Zohar talks very negatively about even touching the beard. Look at number 33. Pasach Reb Shimon, quoting the Zohar. The Amar Reb Shimon comes along and says, Thy man the oishit yada v'dikne yakir alo. Woe is to he, the man that even puts his hand up and touches his beard. Why? Because he may pull the beard hairs out. And I actually brought you, in number 34, which I'm not going to read in full, from the Arizal. The Arizal, and I am not a Kabbalist, please go and speak to your local Orthodox Kabbalist for an understanding of what's going on. But the Arizal says, actually, each of the five corners of the beard downloads the special Shefa from Shamayim and is actually a source of incredible Kabbalistic power, and therefore if you pull out the hairs, even accidentally, Even by just pulling out the hair from any of this area, you are cutting off that shefa, and you are doing something very negative. Ah, you'll say that's Kabbalah, not Halacha. That's brought on Shulchan Aruch. That's brought in the Berehativ in number 35. You mentioned that people stroke their beard. Someone just mentioned people stroke their beard. Interesting, because there's meant to be a segula when you think, try to think through a sugya to stroke the beard. How these two things go together is a good question. But I just wanted to point out on the last page that the Munkat Sharov says, I don't understand. Almost all of the Paiskim ignore this Kabbalistic this issue. They say, okay, Halacha is Halacha, Kabbalah is Kabbalah. The Arizal says, don't even stroke your beard. But the Halacha is mutter to even use a shaver. I don't understand. Because even though we have a principle that where Halacha and Kabbalah collide, which wins? Halacha. The Torah Tanigla wins over the Torah Tanista. He says, but don't we say, and he brings sources here, and we'll talk about them in more length at another time, that when there's a Chumrah of the Kabbalah, where the Kabbalah doesn't disagree with the Halacha, but just adds to the Halacha, we should keep that Chumrah. So here, why is everybody shaving with an electric shaver? I don't understand. And the Chasam Sofer actually dismissed. Ein lanu eisek benistarot, he said. We don't get involved with Kabbalah. He says, how could the Chasam Sofer say this? He's one of the Chasam Sofer says, you can't have a clean shave. He says, he has no problem clipping his beard. And the Chasam Sofer had a clipped beard. So he doesn't understand it. He thinks, Alpi Kabbalah, every man should be prohibited from even pulling the hairs out of the beard, and there are those that want to say this. I brought you back just on the last source, 37, I want to show you. Ra'iti says, Rav Sternbuch, Muvashe v'sof yom shel HaKadosh HaChofetz Chaim, haite kashe lo lahashmiah. At the end of the Chofetz Chaim's life, he found it, he was hard of hearing. U'lechein amad b'shat kreis ha-Torah samach l'bimah, and therefore he stood near to the bimah during laning. And every now and then he jumped back from the bimah, and he walked away from the bimah in the middle of laning. They asked him, why are you leaving the bimah? And he said, when they gave an aliyah in Radin to a Jew without a beard, I can't take that. I have to leave the walk away. So then they made a new rule in the shul. When the Chofetz Chaim comes to shul, they only gave the aliyah to someone who had a beard. Okay? So, I don't know if there probably are still shuls where they do this. Bottom line, I gave you a summary. And you can follow the summary yourself because it's a complicated Indian. But it really depends on who you ask. And there is on what to rely and on whom to rely pretty much on every different position, except for, of course, a regular razor, which everyone agrees is prohibited completely. Add 10 electric shavers. I think we've seen enough. Next week, please God, we're getting into the issue of Kibre Tzadikim and davening in slightly strange circumstances like that. Have a wonderful week.